Hello and welcome to another episode of the Choose Strong podcast. I am your host, Sally McCray, and I'm joined here today by Steady Eddie.
Steady Eddie. It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. You know, we took a week off.
Yep.
And just dove straight into vacation mode.
Yep.
Which was really good. I felt like we needed that. At first, we were going to try and squeeze in a podcast before we left. As many of our listeners know, planning to leave for a vacation, we went out of state. We went to Bend, Oregon, which is our second, our home away from home. And, you know, the kids were planning on snowboarding. It was going to be a good snowy vacay. But, you know, it's a lot of work to pack and prepare for a vacation. And let's be honest, is it ever vacation for parents? Is it ever truly a vacation?
No, it's not.
It's vacation for the kids.
It was nice, definitely nice to go, to get away, to be in the snow, because we don't get that, obviously, here. But it was, there were times where it didn't feel like, it wasn't very relaxing.
No.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't. I think you and I, you know, one of the times we literally dropped the kids off at the mountain. They're old enough now, so our kids aren't 4 and 6.
Yeah.
And they have friends up there too. So they just went to the mountain to go snowboarding literally all day. And as much as I would love to, I do not do the snow sports just because I don't want to risk the chance of injury. There's a high chance of injury in snowboarding. Snowboarding's super rad, but so I choose not to do that. And we then just found ourselves at a coffee shop, which Bend is full of awesome coffee shops. We love Sisters. Coffee is amazing. Cavista Coffee, obsessed with that too. Those are like, I think our top two favorite there.
Yeah.
And we just hung out with a good cup of coffee. We watched the snowfall. I mean, it was really sweet, but we did work.
Yeah. No, it was good to definitely get away, but it didn't feel like you're kicking your feet up necessarily. But that's fine, right? It was fun to get away, to have the kids snowboard and get on the mountain and enjoy a little bit of snow. And yeah, it was good. It's fun.
And I know we're going to talk about this later, do the work mindset.
The DTW.
Movement.
Yep.
For 2024. I was in full mode on that. I really love the opportunity to train in different environments. Freezing cold weather is difficult for me, just like not even mentally, but physically it is. I don't breathe very well in freezing cold. But I know that, you know, racing all over the world, you can't choose the environments that come on race day and the weather. And so it was really good practice for me. I made myself get up. The first morning I got up like 4:30 or 5 and ran in below freezing. It started snowing. That was really good. That was full mental mode. And I remember I was 4.5 miles into that run.
And you wanted to stop?
I wanted to stop. I could see the hotel because I was doing this loop around the river. If you're familiar with Bend is small. And you can get from one side of the city to the other, especially on the west side. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing loops around the river because that was where it was most lit up. I love this about Bend too. There's not lights everywhere. Like, it's a sleepy town to some degree. And it's dark in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
And so I was really concerned about hitting black ice if it was. And I noticed, I think I'm okay. But I stayed running around the river. So I was always kind of close to the hotel we were staying at. And 4.5 miles in, when the wind really started to pick up, I thought, this is not fun. I am so cold. I'm wearing several layers. I don't like this.
Yeah.
And then I just like clicked into that mode of, but I'm so grateful for this, because how many times do I say that in a race or just in life where you're like, I don't like being in this situation. So I'm bailing. I'm going to go and make myself comfortable. I'm going to go make the situation better than what it is right now. But I think sometimes it's good to work through the things that we don't like. It's good to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations in training, because it pays off dividends on race day or in real life where you're frustrated about being in that uncomfortable situation. You realize, well, there's literally nothing I can do unless I just quit. And I don't want to quit. And we learn a lot about ourselves when we keep working through the discomfort. So I continued to work through the discomfort. Half an hour later, the sun began to rise. And I stepped off onto the trails and started running up the river. So I was totally on a different trail system. And as the sun rose, what I saw was so beautiful. Yeah. And of course, I was like the only one out there. I mean, it was
the only crazy person out there running. Yeah.
But by the time I finished, I was so grateful.
Yeah.
I was so grateful that I had worked through the night and the cold. I watched the sunrise and I got in all the miles that I had set out to do in the first place. But I think that, you know, I look back on the Grand Slam series, what we did last year in 2023, and realize that that was constant. It was constantly telling myself, yeah, I don't, this hurts. Mm-hmm. I'm in acute physical pain right now, but I know I can keep moving through this. I know I can get to that finish line. But the greater message in that, the most important of all, is how we respond to everyday life situations. So whether it's in relationships, in work, we go through seasons that are so hard and have way more value than a race, right? Than a training day. But we can always be training our mind for those things. So having the opportunity to train the mind in your workouts will absolutely benefit your everyday life. And I felt like our trip to Bend, we had a lot of really fun times with the kids, because the kids would get off the mountain and the sun would set by like 4:45. They mm-hmm. were done. I think their passes last until 4 p.m. each day.
Yeah.
So we always had like these really sweet dinner times. And I think we talked about this last time we went to Tennessee. Like, we got the kids their own hotel room this time. Sometimes we just share because they hang out with us. They won't go. They don't hang out in their room. Like, yeah. We get them a hotel room and then they're like, okay, we're putting on our pajamas. We'll be in your room in a couple minutes. And we're like, oh gosh. But I love that. I love that our kids like to hang. And so we, all four of us, were crammed in into our hotel room, and we'd watch The Office and joke and laugh. And I cherish those times. Those are my favorite times. And, you know, so yeah, we had some work through the day. We had some mental training in the mornings. We had some sweet family times. And how was it for you?
You know, I did. Okay. So I had great intentions when I was packing, when we were going up to Bend. I said, you know what? I am going to run outside. And I knew it was going to be cold. So I packed those running tights that yes. I literally have never worn
base
in my life.
Yeah.
Never. I've never worn them. So they're like brand new. I've had them for years. So I brought those. And then I brought some other like light kind of jogging pants, I think, to wear over them. I'm like, I'm going to be prepared.
Yeah, you were prepared.
So let's talk about how many times I ran outside. Zero. But I had step one down because one day I did wear those tights and I'm like, you know, I'm feeling it. I think I can go do this. And as soon as I put those on, I don't know what happened, but I think I might have looked outside or looked on my phone to see how cold it was. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to the gym. So I went to the gym and I remember doing like 30 minutes on the bike, and I was like, my feet still have not warmed up. I'm like, I'm so glad I'm not outside. So I'm a massive wimp, but
not a wimp because even though you didn't step outside, you still went inside. Listen, we have a lot of people who are tuning in who are already several feet under snow.
Oh, I know.
And their life has been training on the treadmill, in the basement, in the garage, or in the house set aside where all their workout equipment is. That's part of the seasons of life for these people. Now, I have to give a hats off, because that takes a lot of mental discipline to get up and just train inside your house when you want to be in the fresh air, when you want to be outside, you want that sun hitting your face, and you can't. And part of the reason is because you can't get an efficient training session in. Running in where it's icy, all it takes is one bad footing.
Yeah.
And you've twisted your ankle, you've slipped and ripped a hamstring. I mean, I've heard it, seen it way too many times, and it just is not worth it. Yeah. Where you can hammer and get a really good workout session in on a treadmill. So huge hats off to people that train inside. It's not because you're a wimp, it's you're being wise. And I think with you, you and I had talked about it several times when we were in Bend. I was personally, as your wife, still very concerned about your back. Even when we went walking in the mornings in the snow, I was like, I kept on saying to you, like, lean a little bit forward. Like, that. This is the key when you're in the snow or in the ice, is you make sure your head is a little bit forward because your head is heavy. And then, yeah, when you see ice, literally lean forward, almost bending at your waist, because you don't want to slip back. But that was a concern, that if you were going to go run outside and – slip.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. I meant to say I was being wise, not a wimp.
Oh, okay.
My bad.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Yeah, now that I'm thinking back, it was because I was being wise for sure.
You got some good workouts in, and I think that that's something that we can update the listeners with. I'm seeing the comments come in on our community page, our True Strong community page on Facebook, which, has grown quite a bit. It was really fun yesterday, and we'll talk about this later, but when we talked about the release of our merch shop, seeing everyone in there. But a lot of people have been asking about your marathon training and how that's going. I'm getting questions, people asking how it is coaching you. And so I thought we could just kind of be real and candid, because we said this before, this was not the ideal way that I would have seen you training for your first marathon. And I wanted to write up your marathon plan and share it with everyone, but now it's completely customized to you. I'm literally having to check in with you day to day.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing customized one-on-one run coaching again. And I see the value in it. I mean, this is why it's valuable sometimes to have a coach, because they can zero in and tell you how to pivot and modify in situations like this. So overall, let's start with just how you are feeling, how you're progressing. It's been 2 months since you've hurt your back. And then move on and tell us about what workouts are working for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm stoked because the back is feeling better, which is huge. It's not 100%. I think it's more, it's not, yeah, I guess it's still my back. The pinched nerve is what it is, but so I've been seeing a chiropractor for, I've gone 6 times now, and just probably.
Can I pause you really quick?
What?
How did you find this chiropractor? Because I love this.
Yeah, huge shout out to a True Strong podcast listener that is a chiropractor in Chicago, and said, "Hey, you live, I believe, nearby." One of the best chiropractors around, and it was like a mentor of hers. He was literally like 7 miles away from us, and so he was recommended by her. And so I said, you know, at that point I was like, I've gone PT route, I've gone YouTube route, my own exercise stuff, like nothing's getting better, taking medicine, like nothing's getting better, I need to try something. So thank you to those that mentioned different avenues of things I should explore. But I went the route of the chiropractor. Never been to a chiropractor ever. And so I said, you know, nothing can get worse. Like, I can only get better at this point. So, so that's how I found him. And he's been awesome. I've gone 6 times now. And it is. It's slowly getting better. I mean, it's like I said, it's not 100% healed. But I'm able to sleep a little bit more now. And now that it's been 9 weeks of it. And, it's definitely on the way. It's getting better. So all that to say is that, I'm able to do, a lot of the run stuff that you're programming me with. And I'm not in pain. So that is good. Actually, the more I sit, that's like the when it hurts the most. So when I'm out jogging, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
which I identify with a lot. Sitting, if I have to stand still in place or sit for a long time, that is incredibly uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
So I definitely get that. I think a lot of people listening who have had back pain, or if you just have chronic stuff, or just the way that your back was fashioned, like mine. Mine just kind of twists and curves and torques, and it's funny. I'm most comfortable in movement, but that is normal for people with back issues. You're most comfortable when you're moving.
Yeah, that's what I found. But it's funny too, because I've, you know, he took the initial meeting with him. He took an X-ray, and just to kind of see what's going on. And then the next meeting I met with him, he went over the X-ray with me, and so we're going over it, and he's showing me, you know, what the area of my neck that's wrong and why it's hurting, and this is the, you know, so and then he gets down to my lower back. He looks at me, he goes, "Do you ever have any pain in your lower back?" I said, "Yeah, you know at that time I didn't have a ton, but yeah, every once in a while I have some lower back stuff." And he goes, "I don't know how else to say this, but look right here." And he's like showing me the diagram of, or the X-ray. And he goes, "Your lower back is jacked up." And he starts laughing. I'm like, he goes, "I don't know how else to say it. Like, there's no like doctor terms or whatever." He's like, "It's jacked up." I'm like, "Oh, awesome. Thanks." So anyways, my back is jacked up apparently. And that was the start of our
chiropractor relationship. Yeah. This guy's great.
He's a good dude. Yeah,
he is a good dude. I think that Mackenzie and I are going to go see him.
Yeah,
I think our sweet little Mackenzie has her mama's back to a slight degree, and so it's funny when we both see our sports PT, which is one of my best life friends, Michelle Cazares. She even giggles because she's like, "You and Mackenzie have the same stuff going on."
Yeah.
But Mackenzie's, one of her shoulders is actually worse than mine. So I'm like, she's way too young. But I think too, it has to do with how much youth has to be on devices. I mean, even for school, they're on their Chromebooks and then they're on their phones, and they just
slouched over. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, kids these days are just in a different position than we were growing up. And we're seeing it come out in a negative way. And Mackenzie's incredibly active. You know, she has a good portion of her day where she's training, and Mackenzie adds more to her training. She trains their team, but then she comes home and she does yoga or Pilates or for PT exercises. And then she has a sports and movement trainer and a sports PT that works on her running gait. I mean, she's moving a lot, and to see her kind of struggle with some pain in her shoulder and her back, I'm just like, wow, like this is something that we need to pay attention to, not just kids that are athletes, but all kids. That curvature in the spine is only going to get worse as they get older. But you're seeing kids now with like a forward head lean. They're having weakness in their thoracic spine, so they're up in their upper back. And these are middle school, high school kids.
Yeah.
And typically we start to see problems with that usually when adults are a little bit older. And so I just cannot imagine some of the problems that youth, they already have now, what it'll be like for them when they are adults. And again, you know, I talk about all the time, this is why strength training is so important. You have to strengthen everything around to support joints and muscles and so our kids strength train. I mean, our kids lift weights. That was the one thing that I was like so proud of when we got off the plane in Bend. The first thing we did was we all checked in, and all of us, well, you three went to the gym, Isaiah, you, Mackenzie, and I went and ran outside. But you know, it's so important that we just enforce that as a way to, you just feel good every day when you're strong. It doesn't have to be to contribute to competition, a race. It's so that you feel good moving around in your everyday life. So I know I've been pushing my app a lot. We've seen a huge influx of new members in the app, but I can't stress enough all the good that's in the app, because you don't even need to be training for anything. There's so many categories in there. So we have like a mobility and stretching category. There's a strong knees category. I mean, for those two categories alone, those are just total well-being every single day. you want to be doing something that strengthens your joints, that makes you more mobile and flexible, because you're just going to feel better moving.
Yeah.
And so I'll put the link in the show notes, but please check out the app. We are going to be doing more follow along workouts. Eddie and I have talked about how one of the most popular ones is the hip mobility routine that's in there. So Eddie has invested in some new equipment, some mics that he'll hook me up to, and we're going to start doing some fun follow along routines with me, and then very short, quick strength routines that you can follow along with me too. So I'll talk to you the whole time. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. So, and then the marathon stuff.
Yeah.
So I got an alert yesterday, email, 10 weeks till go time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's good or bad. I think it's good in the fact that it's like going to be done in 10 weeks, but it's scary too, knowing that it's 10 weeks. So
it's 10 weeks and we've had a slower build. I think this weekend you're just doing 11 to 12 miles for your long run. I would have loved to have you a little bit further along in the long run, but it's still enough time to build. I mean, there are so many different philosophies in training for a marathon. Some people top out their long run at 16 miles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's the Hansen's. I want to say that's the Hansen's method. Other people do the beyond the marathon distance. So they'll run up to 28 miles in a long run. Others find the magic distance is 22 to 23 miles. So I would like to get you closer to that. I would love to see you in the 20 plus at least. But if we can only program you up to 20, I really feel like if you can run a half marathon, you can absolutely do a marathon. It's just how you strategically pace it.
Yeah.
So you're definitely going to get past the 13 mile mark. You'll have more confidence. Your body will be more ready. You will finish not in as much pain if we can get you at least to an 18, 20 mile long run, because a lot of endurance events are about mindset. And if you are just overall fit, don't lie to yourself and think that you need to have run, you know, 25, 28 miles before doing a marathon. You don't. You need to be fit and strong, and you need to be ready to push yourself probably further and harder than you've ever done before. But you do that by training properly and having a good buildup. So that's really been my focus with you, is I haven't wanted to pile on the miles with you, because I knew if I did that, we would have elongated your back injury.
Yeah.
But because we've built a little bit, we've built up in a different way. So we've been getting volume on the bike, on the elliptical, on the stairmill, power hiking, and then adding in the runs. I mean, I can tell just physically you are getting fitter. And then, you know, the run you had just yesterday, you said you felt amazing. And that was,
I don't know if I used the word amazing. I
felt good.
I felt good.
And I said, that's amazing. So I switched those.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's going slowly, but it's going.
Yeah.
So yes.
Well, we want to give a huge shout out to our listeners. I know we usually do that in the beginning. We always
say, give a shout out.
We imagine you running right now. Yes. And you're, I mean, for some, you're like, wow, we're 30 minutes in and you didn't even say hi to me, Sally. Gosh.
How dare you?
We are so happy that you're here. And I'll tell you what, the holidays were really special for us. And Eddie and I got some time just to reflect on how awesome this community is. And so we know that many of you are motivated, excited, and totally geared up and ready to tackle your goals this year. I'm also just going to be just your honest friend and tell you, I am well aware, having been a coach and a trainer for so long, that many people will find that once they hit week 4, 5, and 6, that motivation starts to die down a little bit. And so I want to encourage you to not rely heavily on the motivation, but rely on the goal. Focus on the goal, not your daily motivation, because the goal is what you work toward no matter how you feel. See, motivation is really rooted in feelings and emotions, but you need to root your work in truth. And the truth is that you want to achieve the goal that you've set out for yourself this year. So as you are putting in the work right now, and we have you and we are joining you right now in your ears, I want to first tell you, well done for just getting the work done, regardless of how you're feeling. So you might feel amazing right now. For some of you might be kind of dragging or just tired, or maybe you're not hitting things the way that you want to. But no matter what, regardless of how you feel, you're getting the work done. And we're going to talk about the do the work mindset, campaign, movement, whatever we want. I'm not really sure exactly what we're calling it yet, Eddie. But we're going to dive into that later on. But so much of it is built on doing the work that's your work, that's set out for you, regardless of the circumstance. So if you're running, lifting, you are driving, cooking, doing some laundry. A lot of people are doing laundry when they're listening to us. You got the kiddos with you. We just give you a big, warm welcome. You are our family, and we are so glad that you are here.
Yes. Happy New Year. We haven't really said that because this is our first episode of 2024. So
that's right.
Happy New Year to you, all that are listening, even if you're listening right now in July because you're trying to catch up with the other ones. Hey, let's do a couple Choose Strong podcast shout outs.
Yes.
So
I love these.
This one came in from Emily Ribas. She said, give them their own reality show already.
Oh, I'll take it. No. I want to be on Amazing Race. Can we do that?
We cannot do that because
that wouldn't be our own show. But Eddie and I have watched Amazing Race since the first year we were married.
We have. I love that show. But I feel like if we got in a car together in a different country and you're like yelling at me where to go, it would not end
well.
Oh,
you would not be the one driving. Here's the thing.
Well, I wouldn't let you drive. So how are we getting around? Like, there's something.
If we do Amazing Race, I am driving everywhere.
I would not let you do that.
You are not driving.
That's I would not let you do that.
No. Because I am better at directions than you.
You're
better than a lot of other things than me, but directions are not your strong suit. So
I agree with that, but I'm just saying I will not just happily jump in a car with you in a different country, like going crazy trying to go to the next
spot. Do you know how to drive stick shift? I do.
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You knew
it's
that.
Been a while. It's been a while. My first car was a stick shift. And how many times on the Amazing Race do people get in the car and they don't know how to drive stick shift?
Yeah,
and you hear the
funny
gears grinding and you're just like, oh, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, you would think if you're like, hey, I'm going on this show, like I should probably learn. Like especially if you've watched the show.
Yeah.
Right? You know
right?
You're gonna have the stick shift thing,
right?
I don't know.
Get it together.
Come
so
on,
a really good friend of mine, Allie. She is one of the audio specialists for that show.
Mm.
And, you know, you can't tell as a viewer, but there is an audio person there's two people with the contestants the entire time. That's why one contestant is always in the driver's seat and the other one's behind, because they have to put a camera guy in the front seat.
And then the audio.
And then the audio person is right behind them. And so I had so many questions for Amal. How many times have you been in the car with someone and you were so frustrated because they were completely going the wrong way? She's like, you have no idea, but we are not allowed to help. She's like, the only time we can ever open our mouth is if we are in danger.
And so,
you know, and it could be like, hey, we're going to help you like with like the stick shift thing, like do this and that. But it's like, because there's traffic coming straight
right,
at us
yeah.
or like we're putting our lives at risk. Yeah. But they can't help navigate. They can't give tips or clues or like anything. It's really just in a dangerous situation. We can, you know, we don't want to risk our lives and our jobs.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But she loves it. She
that'd be a fun job.
Oh
too.
My god, she's traveled all over the world,
yeah.
just chasing down the
yeah,
you
that's
know,
what I love.
With
I love going like you get to watch and see all these different epic places. I
yeah.
love that. Yeah,
and our kids are old enough now. See, when you and I first talked about it, our kids well, we were it was when we were first married, we didn't have kids
we didn't
yet,
have
but
kids, yeah.
but then as our kids were babies, we're like, oh man, there's no way we would leave them for a month, like that would be really difficult,
yeah.
But now,
it's like,
I'm like, yeah.
hey, sign me up. A month? Going to be 2 months. No. Yes, I don't know, man. We'd have to really work out some differences on the driving thing if we're going
to make
it work.
I do.
I think we would. I think that
I
might
think we'd
be
have
an issue.
So much fun. Because we're good friends.
We
I think
yeah.
that we would laugh a lot. I think.
Yeah. What do you think we would be pegged as? You know how they usually have like the firemen, the, you know, like there's always like a stigma or not a stigma, but like
yeah.
an identifier of of the couple or the, you know, whatever. The bankers.
The
or,
Pringle Pot. I don't know.
Pringle Posse. I'm curious what they would call us, like the runner and
the jocks,
not runner. Yeah,
whatever. You're an athlete
jocks.
Through and through. So the jocks.
Yeah.
The
yeah. I anyways, all right. So let me read this. It says, give them their own reality show already. It says, love these episodes. Sometimes you stumble onto a podcast about two people who just make it worth listening to. Keeps me going, keeps it fresh. Great role models for sure. Thanks, guys.
Very sweet.
Emily, we appreciate you. Thank you for saying that. Choose Strong podcast shout out number two says Strength and Humility. This is by Vinakachini. I don't know if that's correct or not. So refreshing to hear a total legend share authenticity on fitness and life. Keep up the incredible work.
That's very sweet.
Very sweet, yeah.
And the total legend is you, Ed.
I know. That's why I thought it was even sweeter than
that's why you had to usual. Share it.
Yeah. All right, last one is by Sammy. Sammy says, an inspirational and enlightening show. I listen to Sally and Eddie nearly every day. My favorite place to listen is when I'm driving and my daughters are in the car with me. I love for my girls to hear Sally's message of strength and perseverance. That's really cool.
That's Sammy?
Sammy, yeah.
Sammy, we are giving a big shout to your two precious girls.
Yes.
What is up, girls? We hope that you are having a wonderful day, and we hope you know that you have big strength inside you.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Have a great day, girls.
So we really appreciate when the community sends us messages. We appreciate every review. And so we have decided to give away 10 Choose Strong yellow hats, even though they are sold out already on our store, which was entirely insane to us.
Like, look, I knew that the yellow hat was like a craze, and I had no idea it was like.
And we ordered a lot.
Capital letter craze. Like, I didn't know.
We ordered a lot, and we did say once they're up and they're gone, they're gone. Yeah. But we did put in, you know, we contacted Nike and said, hey, could we put in another order?
Yeah.
I don't know how long that we will actually keep it on the site, but originally we said no. Once they're gone, they're gone. But
yep.
We weren't expecting them to sell out in less than 20 minutes.
Nope.
And I couldn't even get through all of the direct messages, the emails, and the comments of so many people that said, I was at work all day, or I was running, or I was making dinner with the kids, and I totally missed out. And I had set my thing on notifications, and I've been waiting for 2 months, and I was like, this stinks.
I know.
Like, yeah, I we have to do something about this. So I contacted Nike and I was like, can we do, you know, another run? And what does this look like? And so, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. We are learning. Eddie and I have never had a merch shop before. Like, we don't, you know, that was never in our business mind. I mean, we've always just kind of been content creators and speaking in book and stuff like that. So I think the merch world is brand new to us, but we have created an awesome team. So we have Kyle Kalma. Big shout out to Kyle Kalma, who is Eddie's childhood friend, best man in his wedding, went to college together. His wife is my best friend, Natalie. He's amazing. That is his world, promotional, merchandising, factory, all of that. So he connected us with John Brooker, and he was able to help us get everything flowing. So without this team, well then John has his whole team of people working on everything, the designers and the packers, and they process everything. I mean, it is a really big process. I giggled because Mackenzie walked in yesterday, right as the hats sold out, and she looks at me, she's like, Mom, do you have to mail all those out by yourself? And I was like, oh, heck no. Like, there is no way that we are managing customer service, online orders, packaging, address, all of that. It is a full-time job.
Yeah, huge shout out to Kyle and John for helping us out.
Well, they worked overtime into the night, and they were up early this morning because they saw the wave of orders. And I think you and I got a little nervous for a second.
Yeah, we do apologize to those that are, I think Canada, I think, Mexico. I think Canada was the big one in terms of the shipping cost was pretty pricey. And we don't have anything to do with that, obviously. I saw it and I
was like sick to my stomach. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, why? And I told Eddie, I was like, Eddie, you're Canadian. Can't you do something about this?
Yeah, come on. Give me a discount or something.
Yeah,
Canada.
Like, that is.
Jeez.
We just kind of make sure the designs are up. We make the hat happen, but as far as like the packaging and the pricing and all of that, wow.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
But I will say this, on a positive note, very happy. If you go on our site right now, you can see there is a pre-order link for the yellow hat where you can secure it to make sure that it is yours. We will put the link to my store in this podcast. Or if you want to go on right now, it's just sallymcrae.com. And just there in the nav bar, you'll see store link. And we have other merchandise that's there. We have sweatshirts, t-shirts. We have a do the work flag, even a crop top. And every month there will be new items added. So I'm really excited to build out this store. Our greatest hope is that the merchandise will be encouraging to you, because that is our number one hope in everything that we do, that we can encourage, that we can uplift and make other people feel like, yes, I can do whatever I've set my mind out to do, but also that you yourself are valuable, your goals are valuable. And we want to really just spread that message. So you're going to see other items on there. Choose strong, specific stuff will start to roll out as well. We kind of kicked off the year 2024 with Do the Work. And that's going to be a big part of our conversation coming up here in just a little bit. And so that's why you see Do the Work merchandise first.
Yeah. But if you did not get a hat, and you either had to pre-order one, or you just didn't get one at all.
We need to go back to
coming back to what we were talking about. Is we're about to give.
That's weird. We got off track for a second.
Imagine that. Imagine that. We are going to be given 10 hats. You know, these are even better than buying them off the site, because not only are they free to you, but Sally McRae will sign these hats. They are being signed hats just for you. So,
but also I have to say, if you don't want marker on your hat, you don't want it signed, you will not offend me. So if you get chosen and you win, you can immediately respond. Eddie runs all that.
You can say, I do not want a signature.
We've had that.
And that's okay. We
respect
that.
We've had a couple
people
say, hey, can I just have it not signed? And then we found it on eBay.
Yeah.
Later,
like, wait a minute.
For $400. Huh. We're like, wait a minute. I'm just kidding. That did not happen. But no, you can opt out of having it signed. Also, if you'd like Eddie to sign it as well, Eddie has signed a few hats alongside me.
So
that is not
how can they get a hat, Sal? Can you tell
the
people?
So this is what we are doing. We really love reading your reviews.
Yeah.
Your ratings and reviews mean a lot to us. They mean a lot to our podcast just as a whole. So if you will leave a review on Spotify or Apple, all you have to do is screenshot it, and you can share it in a story on social media and just tag us, and then we're going to file all of those away. If you don't want to do that, you can also screenshot it and just email it to us, and the email address is contact@sallymcrae.com. We will put that also in the show notes.
Yep.
If you've already left a review in the past, go find your review and just submit it to us. But, you know, we get tens of thousands of listeners all over the world, and we would just love to hear from you guys. We would love to get a rating. We've noticed that our podcast is hitting top charts, and we just want to continue to get our message out. And so those reviews and ratings really mean a lot to us, and that is really what helps push our podcast to the top in all the categories.
Yeah, so just like Sally said, tag us if you're going to repost it there so we can see it, or if you don't have social media, you can email it to us. And also, I forgot to mention, if you only watch the podcast on YouTube, you can put a comment or a like there, and then you can share that for us too. And that would be another way to get one.
So we are going to do this for 3 months. So month of January, the month of February, and March. So we're actually giving away 30 hats, 10 hats a month for the next 3 months. So this will be an ongoing
giveaway.
an ongoing giveaway. And so if you don't get chosen the first month, you can continue to participate, and we'll bring it up again. Once the 10 hats are given away, then we'll start it up again. Yeah. We'll do 10 hats. So Pausing here for a quick message from Inside Tracker. The path to better health isn't rocket science, it's health science. For something as valuable as your health, there's no reason to leave anything to chance. So whether you want to improve your heart health, cognition, metabolism, sleep, stress levels, or overall health span, Inside Tracker reveals the exact areas of your health that need improvement through comprehensive blood testing, DNA analysis, sleep and fitness tracker data, and your current daily habits. Inside Tracker's scientists have shifted through the research so that you don't have to. So stop playing guessing games. When it comes to your health and longevity, you can save 20% on all of Inside Tracker tests with the code SALLY at checkout.
All right, so I'm thinking 2024, I really want to highlight some people in the community that are choosing strong, that have, because the tagline is strong body, strong mind, strong love. And I thought it'd be cool to highlight people on the podcast that are choosing strong, with whether it be a strong love, strong mind, or strong body, or all of those together, or one of those, or whatever. So I grabbed a couple of either posts or comments, and just because I wanted to highlight them, whether it be an email, whatever, I just wanted to give a quick little shout out to them. Kelly Daw, I'm gonna read what she wrote. I felt like she was choosing strong or strong love. You're gonna like this one. She said, so life threw me curveballs in the new year. I wasn't expecting to become a caregiver for one of my siblings. This is where doing the work changed from committing to an exercise goal to giving me the strength and the fortitude to be the sister that I need to be. Do the work is my lifestyle choice that makes all the difference, and I can't believe I'm the only one. Hats off to everyone navigating life's unexpected moments. May you keep preparing your mind and body for the road ahead. Mm. Big love to Kelly as she's choosing strong. Strong love, man.
That's really precious. Powerful. And that is the most important work of all.
Yep.
Is loving and caring for each other.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to family. We all know, everyone listening has all been affected by, you know, someone that has gotten sick or has experienced loss or just losing someone. And that's deep.
Yep.
It stays with you for your whole life. And I think that, you know, showing up and doing the work is about putting others before yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always easy. I know it isn't for me, even as a mom. It's like it is human nature to want to wake up and just think about me and what I need to do. But I also have learned that our lives are so much more fulfilling when we serve and look after others, and we take that time for other people. And so I really appreciate you sharing that, because I think there's a lot of listeners who are in that same position.
Yeah,
right now. We've
sure.
talked to people who are caring for parents, helping out with family members' kids. And yeah, it's not easy, and it's okay to feel like it's not easy. Just because you're taking care of someone that you love doesn't mean that you feel like love and happiness all the time.
Right.
It's hard. And so, you know, it's testimonies like that. They don't not only impact Eddie and I, because we get these glimpses into your lives, but know that when you share them with us, or I know you're getting these from social media, they absolutely encourage another listener. And that's what makes the community so strong.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And if you, yeah, I just grabbed these from the Facebook group and emails and YouTube, like wherever I saw. But yeah, if you have someone maybe that you feel is choosing strong and having strong love or strong mind, or you just want to share that with us, feel free to email us on their behalf, or even Instagram message, and just so we can be aware, and we'd love to read those and maybe share on the podcast. Another one I picked up was the strong body, strong mind category. They kind of went together. This is from Russ. Sally, simply wanted to say thank you. You've been an inspiration. I did my first ever endurance event this year called 29029. The Everest.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, the Everesting. Everest, yeah. It's a climb. Those of you that aren't familiar with this, that is the height of Mount Everest.
Yeah.
And so it's this all-day endurance event, and you try to climb the amount of Mount Everest. They're typically put on at ski resorts. Yeah. So I think the first one was in Vermont. And you climb up, and then I believe you take a ski lift down, then you climb up and
to reach
just
that.
Continues. But it's yeah. a gnarly event. So well done, Russ. That's
yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
Then check this out, Russ. Russ followed it up with walking 50 miles on his 50th birthday, which was on Thanksgiving. He says, I've never even done a 5K before. Russ, the man, dude, that's impressive.
Wait, never done a 5K and walked 50
yes.
miles?
No, he did the 29:29,
Incredible.
And then he followed it up by walking 50 miles, and he wow. says he's never even done a 5K.
I'm so impressed.
Russ, that's very...
That's a strong mind right there.
Then he says, my feet were on fire during the 50 miles.
You think?
And more than once, I thought about how your feet were Aww. And your sprint to keep going. So each step was painful. Not even close to what you probably went through, but it's all good. I got it done.
Oh,
huge
wow.
shout out to Russ. Strong body and strong mind, right?
No, it's so admirable.
Jeez,
I
that
mean,
was impressive.
I know some people they use their birthday number.
Yeah.
And they might do some type of exercise or adventure, and they'll do it for minutes or
yeah,
miles
like
or kilometers or, you know, and so to do 50 miles
that's
is,
impressive.
I don't care if you were on a bike,
right?
I mean, that's a solid amount. And he stepped every.
Yes. Well done, Russ. Yeah. Well done. All right. Last one is from Kiss the Cactus 20 on YouTube said, I just finished my first 200-mile run, an epic experience. Thanks to Sally and Eddie Aww. For the tips and the encouragement. I am one that listens to the podcast during my long training runs. Thanks for keeping me company and helping me meet this gigantic goal.
Massive
strong
goal.
Body right there.
Strong
200
body.
Mile race.
I'm so curious. Did they say which race it was?
No, they did not.
Oh,
it
man.
Just said a 200-mile run. So I don't know if it was a race or run. Or
even put on... By themselves.
Yeah.
Like maybe they put on. Okay.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
Very, very inspiring. You know, it wasn't until like, I mean, these 200 mile distances are brand new, but now they're turning into 250, 300, 350.
Yeah.
I mean, people are understanding. Yeah. They sound crazy, but it's like, it's only crazy until someone does it.
Yeah. It's possible.
And then
right?
more and more people are doing it. And then pretty soon it's like, okay, the human body can do this. This is amazing. So, really encouraged by that.
Yes. Thanks for sharing those awesome, epic, choose strong adventures.
Yeah.
All right. So what's next? What
well,
do we got?
I just want to dive in a little bit into this do the work because
yeah.
I did a few posts as the year kicked off and I said, are you ready?
Mm.
And one of the things that I have observed over many years of being in the fitness and sports industry is that when the new year begins, that's when all the diets begin.
Yeah.
That's when all the big goals for training, this is the year that I'm going to build muscle. This is the year that I'm going to lose weight. This is the year that I'm going to run a marathon. And it's exciting. I think that we all look forward to this opportunity to do something that's marked by a new year.
Yeah.
And I did talk about this in the previous podcast. And one of the things I said is you get every day is your new day to choose. But in celebration of the new year, I did launch Do the Work, an official logo, an official explanation of what that was.
Yeah.
It was then followed up with a few insights about what doing the work really means. And so one of the first things I said was rest is the work.
Mm.
Recovering is the work. Preparation is the work. And the goal behind Do the Work is it's not so much of a challenge as it is a commitment and a mindset. It is understanding that we all have work to do and it is all important. I feel over the years as I have trained athletes and even counseling people just in everyday life, I feel that we so often get caught up in what other people are doing. And social media can kind of play a really negative role in that. Such a negative role that we begin to evaluate what our goals are, what our training looks like, what we're working toward. And we think this is such a small nothing in comparison to what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm training for my first 5K, one might say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal to me. But then I look and I see this person training for a 50 mile and that makes me feel embarrassed, or it makes me feel like I'm weak, or that my goal isn't good enough, it's not big enough. And I think that if we could get to a place with this Do the Work where people understand that first and foremost, no one can do the work for you. No one can set your goals for you and work toward those goals. Only you can. Mm-hmm. The things that you are naturally excited about, that you're drawn to, I believe every person has a gift and a talent and abilities that are unique to them. And those things were meant to be used to impact people around you. And I really think that if we understood that our life was valuable, no matter what that work looked like, we would be more excited to do our work. I think also, as we do our work, we would then set bigger goals for ourselves. We would be okay with failing, with trying over and over and over again, because doing the work is about going on a journey in life and understanding that you have one finish line, and that's the end of your life. And we are built to work. I mean, as humans, we are strong. Our physical bodies are strong if we choose to build them up. And I believe that we are equipped for the very specific life that was meant for us. And so Do the Work is something that I am going to be encouraging you guys to do. Now, most specifically, how can you take part in it? So I just kind of explain like the mindset in it, encouraging one another around you to do the work, whatever that looks like. And for some of us, that's going to be 5 minutes a day. That's all the time that we have to work toward the goal that we have. So some of you are working toward a physical goal. It could be your first 100 mile race, your first 5K. It could be getting all of your health markers in check. So, you know, if you're working on that high cholesterol, or you want to get the body fat percentage down, you're doing something to get those joints stronger. I mean, there's so many different physical goals that we can set for ourselves, right? But some of us, it's a work goal, it's a family goal, it's a relationship goal. All of that requires time and energy. But how often is it that the days go by so quickly and we look back and we realize, wow, like a week has passed. I haven't really done anything. And so there is a discipline that comes with doing the work. And I did explain this a couple podcasts ago, but here are some ideas for you that are going to help you stay on track, help you stay committed, because the single most important thing that you need to understand when you go after a goal is you need to have consistency. And consistency is more valuable than effort. And I have said this over and over again, effort is still very valuable. You need to give your best effort in everything you do, but you can't give your best effort if you're not even showing up to do it in the first place. So consistently showing up. And sometimes we have to mentally fight through how we're feeling in order to show up. So you might wake up one day and just, I'm tired, I'm unmotivated, I'm super stressed out. And sometimes it's the stress from family and work that takes us away from doing anything physical. But that is where the true work comes in, where despite how I'm feeling, I'm gonna try to do something. It says I am supposed to run 8 miles today, but I'm gonna step outside and I'm just gonna walk for 20 minutes and just see how I'm feeling, because I'm committed to this work no matter what it looks like. And that's a real life. Sometimes you know exactly what it is that you need to do, but you are struggling mentally or just, you know, physically how you're feeling. And you have to find the space where I might not be able to do the 8 miles, but I can do something. And when you train your brain the importance of doing something rather than nothing, you are going to be amazed at the gains that you're going to make, because doing even little bits of something every day adds up to great things. You start to change. I can't tell you how many times, especially when I was getting back in shape after having kids, you know, I had 2 emergency C-sections. It was pretty traumatizing for me. I put on a lot of weight with both my children. Those first, especially 3-4 months of getting the weight off, of healing from stomach surgery, having newborn babies, it was really difficult to get outside sometimes to do anything. But I can't tell you how many times that I was like, all right, I'm not running. I'm just putting on my shoes and I'm going to walk. And I would walk for like 20, 25 minutes. And then all of a sudden, like, I don't know if it was the fresh air or I saw someone run by or just like my mood change, I'd start jogging. Mm. And I would say, I'm going to jog for 5 minutes. All of a sudden that jog would turn into 10 minutes and 15 minutes. And like, cool. I walked for 20 minutes. I jogged for 15 minutes. I was almost not going to do anything at all. And I think it is okay to promote that kind of mindset, because I feel like what I see so much is, well, if you can't do this, then don't do it at all. If you can't do this, then it's not valuable. You're not hitting the markers and you're not getting the right training benefit and the effectiveness that you need. And so just try again tomorrow. And I say no to that, because real life is that we are hit with so many different situations that we don't always see. I mean, if we all want to feel great when we wake up every day, we all want to be like motivated and excited and to have a stress-free life. And I think this goes for everyone, whether you're a high school, college kid, if you're retired or you're raising young children. What we start to learn as we go through life is that seasons are real. They're very real, but we can also learn how to train our minds to react to every season, no matter the circumstance. And so that is what Do the Work is about. It's carving out your path, your story as it is true to you. And it doesn't need to look like anybody else's. It doesn't need to be a perfectly structured, smooth path all the time. It just needs to be you showing up and doing something rather than nothing each and every day. And some days you're going to feel amazing. You're like, I'm getting out for 4 hours and I'm training. Other days it's going to be, okay, I have time for a 5-minute core routine and that is it. But what is true about both of those days, whether it's 5 hours or 5 minutes, is you did something. You were consistent. Make it the same as if you were brushing your teeth. We get so good at setting routines about things that we learned when we were little. Like, I know I need to take a shower. I need to get dressed. I need to eat my breakfast. I need to brush my teeth. Well, guess what? You working toward that goal should be right in there as well, because you are valuable. You are worth it. And it's not going to happen any other way. I think sometimes we get so paralyzed that we wait for the perfect day. We dream. I think a lot of us are good at daydreaming. We're good at like hoping. We're waiting for that one day for when we are less tired, we are less busy, when we are less stressed, and we wait and wait and wait. And we're like, oh my gosh, it was 4 years ago that I said that I wanted to do this and I've done nothing because I was waiting for the perfect day. Instead, show up and do something with what you have. And I completely empathize very deeply with tough seasons in life, where you are caring for other people, where you are working through sadness and loss and hardship and anger and depression, all those things, but you still show up every day to keep moving forward. You are training yourself that no matter the season in your life, you are always walking forward on this journey, because that is what you were made to do. Now, I have been doing a social experiment purely as an experiment in my stories. And I'm not sure if I'm going to continue doing it. I really was just trying to see what the reaction was. But Eddie and I have been so amazingly blown away at how many people are taking part in it too. And I love it. I want you guys to keep doing it. At the end of the day, I make a story post in my Instagram. So if you're on Instagram, you've seen it. And it says The Work, and then I write down what it was that I did. And I've only narrowed that down just to training. There isn't anything else. And I mean, I could really list all the work that we did today, whether that's in running a business, working on my book, or as a mom, doing stuff around the house. I mean, there's a lot of work that has to be done each day far outside of the training. But all that I have focused on is just the training. So I might say, you know, run for 60 minutes, lift weights 30 minutes, and then that's it. Now, I've played around with the amount of details that I've given. So sometimes I'll say exactly how long I've done each thing. I'll say that I have an AM workout and a PM workout. But then other times I've just written one word. You know, the work is run, and then that's it. And I've been watching the responses I've been getting. So a lot of responses I've getting is people want the details. They want to know what it is that I'm doing. They want to know what the intensity is, what the duration is. They want to know why I'm changing. Sometimes I do say what the duration is, and then sometimes I don't. And what I have been learning about that is how there's two things that are happening here. One, it's encouraging to see other people putting the work in. It makes you want to do the work too.
Yeah.
Right? Eddie and I are both like that because we grew up as athletes. We're both competitive. You know, if he gets his workout in, I want to get my workout in. If I hop on the treadmill and get a run done, he knows, okay, I'm going to go lift weights. I'm going to get something to do. Like, it's really great having Eddie as an athlete because we understand that. Like, what's your training today? Okay, I need to get my training to do. So we're always checking in with each other. If you don't have that in your home, that is where social media can be positive. We're like, all right, everyone else is getting the work done. I know that not everyone else is feeling 100%. I'm not. I'm going to go get the work done too. Awesome. What can turn into a negative is, oh my gosh, that person's work was way more than mine. That person's work looked way more intense. They did so much more than I did, or so much more than I'm capable of doing. Wow, they ran for 3 hours. I ran for 22 minutes. Wow, they lifted weights and they ran and they did the elliptical. Oh my gosh, all I did was a yoga routine. So the comparison is where the negativity comes in. And so my message to you, my hope and encouragement for you, is that you will show up to do the work solely for you, not based on the reactions you get from other people, not based on the value that you think that you have in comparison to what other people are doing, but solely because you are focused on working toward a goal. And this is why I started to write just one word, because what you see is that I just ran. What you don't see is that I did 2-minute hill repeats with 2-minute fast intervals, a 6-minute pace. And then I got off and I lifted weights for an hour and a half and I did literally 2,000 reps. Like, if I wrote all that out, my reaction on social media would be very different than when I just write run and lift.
Yeah.
And so my encouragement again is that you will zero in, hone in on the very basic work, no matter what the duration is, no matter how many reps, no matter what your pace is, no matter what the workout is. You need to understand that if you're running for 22 minutes, your work is just as valuable as when I go and I run up Mount Baldy for 5 hours. We are both showing up and doing the same thing. And our efforts are going to look different at different seasons in life. After I gave birth to Mackenzie, going on a 10-minute walk was incredibly difficult for me. It was painful. I was healing. I had a lot of extra weight. It took me a long time to build back up into where I was running. Was my work any less valuable than when 2 years before that, my workouts were 3 hours long? No, because all your work matters. Every season of your work matters. And when you understand that, when you believe that in your heart, that is the beginning of achieving great things, because you then start to let go of other people's expectations. You then start to let go of what the critics might think. You then start to let go of actually believing that your value is based on what other people are doing or what they think of you. The value is you showing up for yourself and putting in the work every day, no matter what that looks like, because it's true to you. And so I love the idea of having a journal, and I'm pulling up one of them right now. This is just one of those composition books. I think it was 50 cents at the grocery store. I love using this book to write out the details of my work. The other thing that you can do is put a post-it note on your mirror. And at the top of that post-it note, write January. Every day you show up in January, all you do is make one little mark on that post-it note. And your goal is to do as many marks as you can in a month. You know, 1 month that might be 12 little dashes that you'll put up. Maybe the next month it's 15, and so on and so forth. And hopefully by the end of the year, you will become more consistent and showing up for yourself more consistently. And I also feel if you want to share all of the details, do it, because I think it does encourage people. But we all know where we are when we are at our best and what works for us. You are not obligated to share stuff on Strava. You are not obligated to say what pace you are. And if that those kind of things bring stress and anxiety to you, don't do it. Your work is for you. You do your work and I'll do mine. And if there's anything that you want to spread in this, if you want to take that logo, I see a lot of people using the logo, the DTW logo, please do that. You can make it part of one of your story posts. You could put it in a select post. And really that is just the encouragement. I'm showing up to work. If I can do the work, you can do the work too. And it's just going to be that. This isn't, hey, you need to drink 4 gallons of water a day and you need to put in 90 minutes of training every day. You need to be on a special diet. There's no cheat day. This is not a rigid challenge. This is a way to live a real life. And, I'm not the biggest fan of diets and, things like that. I think they can be helpful for seasons. And I think that challenges can be helpful because you're doing something hard. You're trying to teach yourself to be disciplined and maybe do something you've never done before. But personally, I'm in a season in my life where how can I live in a strong way that works every day, day in and day out? This is how I want to live my life. I want to live my life knowing that I have work to do every day and that it's important and that it's true to me, it's authentic to me, it's precious to my personal goals, and no one else can do that work for me. And when I show up every day, I'm going to achieve great things. And sometimes it takes 2, 3, 4, 5 years to achieve a goal. It doesn't have to be within 12 calendar months. And so kicking off this year with do the work is not so much about, hey, this is just what we're doing only in 2024, but let's train ourselves to be consistent, to show up, to do good work every single day.
Yeah, I like it. Good job.
Yeah.
Do the work. And when you said challenge for the new year, you're like, I don't want to do diets and stuff like that. I just thought of a very challenging thing that I am going through. And went through, because we went to Bend for 5 days and I am challenging myself to have a dry January. So no alcohol. Uh-huh. Actually, I want to do it until the marathon. So yeah, it's like dry January, February, and some of March. But that was a challenge because living in Bend, there's a lot of very good breweries that it was very.
And I asked you on two separate occasions.
I know. I was very disciplined. I was like, you know what?
Very disciplined. Because
everything in me wants to say yes right now.
Yeah. But I'm not a drinker, but I will have on occasion with Eddie, like a glass of wine, or if we go to a party and someone offers me a drink, like I don't make a big deal about it. But if someone were to tell me, if a doctor's like, you could never have alcohol for the rest of your life, I wouldn't even bat an eye. Like, yeah. I don't crave it. I personally, that's not something that I feel like I need. I'm different with sugar though. See, yeah, it's like sugar is my thing. For some people it's alcohol. It's we all kind of have like something that we like to have, but like, if the doctor's like, you can never have donuts again, I'd probably cry. So, but I was really impressed because we went to a nice restaurant and I was like, are you going to share a glass of wine with me? And you said no. And I don't, like, if he doesn't have a glass of wine, I won't.
Yeah.
So I never got anything. And I wasn't entirely bummed. I was like, oh wow. Like, you are very disciplined. Like, I love
focused.
That. Yeah.
Very focused.
So I think there is nothing wrong with doing diets, doing challenges.
I was just bringing that up.
Challenging yourself to get healthier. That's the thing too, is like, we all have things that we struggle with personally.
Yeah.
And so sometimes challenges are to help us overcome those things that are personal to us.
Yeah.
And so, or to help us get healthier. So I want to make sure that I'm really clear on that. Hats off to people who are disciplining themselves to try to get healthier by, taking part in a challenge or taking part in a diet, trying to find a pathway to getting to a better space mentally and physically. I love that. The do the work is more about mindset and longevity for the rest of your life, because it's something that you can apply to every area of your life. This is something that you can encourage your kids to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, kids, and I can remember many times for myself, we feel disappointment very heavily about the smallest things, right? You lose your soccer game, and, you know, I remember crying after soccer games, or being really upset about getting a C on a test. And we can always come back and ask ourselves, but did you do the work?
Yeah.
What, teach your kids to evaluate their work. What work did you put in that you expected to get an A? What work did you put in that you expected to win?
Yeah.
What work did you put in that you expected for that friendship to be strong? And that is really what this is,
those are good questions,
about.
Yeah. Yeah. I do attribute the do the work to my consistency over when we went to Oregon for 5 days, because usually when we go somewhere, you know, different state, or we're traveling, when I'm out of routine, I'm like, man, I'll start it again when I get back home. Like, I won't go to the gym I've never been to. That's just me. But the do the work thing, really helped me get to, I worked out the most I ever have on a trip when just those 5 days in Bend, just because I think, you know, partly, yeah, I was like, you're my coach and you're saying, hey, you got to do this stuff, you know, you got to run this many miles, and you know, and that might be part of it, and I'm training for a marathon, but it was the do the work, kind of just showing up, and, you know, cause not every day I wanted to go to that gym and do something. In fact, you know, the 5 days we were there, the first day, it was coming off the plane. You're traveling. It's like the worst day for me. I know you're supposed to like get back into the gym and do something, but I'd rather just lay on the couch or lay on the bed and watch TV and go to dinner, and then we're done for that day and check it off and move on. But I went to the gym as much as I didn't want to, and, you know, spun the legs on the bike and did some strength stuff. And, you know,
you had a really good workout.
Yeah. But
and the kids were with you.
I just wanted to show up and do something in there. Right. And it ended up being a decent workout. And then the next day, I ran 6 miles in there, and the following day I actually was pretty sick. So I guess I can call that doing the work. I really took the day, and like, I just need to
rest. You did
rest.
Go on a walk. I feel like almost an hour walk. So that was,
but I didn't do anything strenuous. I just, yeah. And then I remember the next day, the fourth day, you wanted me to get outside. That was the day that I didn't want to go outside. So you wanted me to do, I think, like 10 miles. Yeah. And, I said, you know what? I don't want to do 10 miles in 25 degree weather. And, you know, I'm going to use wisdom here. I'm going to use wisdom and stay inside. But I didn't really even want to run at all. And it ended up getting on the treadmill. And what you said, I just started walking, you know, on the treadmill to kind of like, all right, maybe something will like click and I'll get on there and actually run. And I ended up running, you know, 6 miles or so. So, you know, I think that was part of, you know, that doing the work thing, just showing up and being consistent. And then that last day made it a little bit easier because I've been pretty consistent. I went in there and my back was kind of bothering me, so I did a lot of like rolling out and back stretches and stuff, which, you know, was just getting in there and doing some of the work and being consistent. So all that to say is I've attributed the do the work mindset to me being the most consistent I've ever been in terms of exercising when traveling. So DTW for the win right there.
I think I had even made the comment that even just in the past 2 months, you have been, even with your back stuff, the traveling, we really started talking about doing the work. I feel like, yeah, you and I, we work closely together, but there is freedom in that statement where people just feel like they can really own what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you own and focus on your own work, you actually start to not care so much about what everyone else is doing. Like, this is my goal that I crafted.
Yeah.
And the outcome is going to be a result of the work that I put in, not what other people are doing,
mm-hmm.
not what, you know, what other people's expectations are, or even this pie in the sky idea of what I think it's supposed to be like. But this is like what I'm putting in every day is, that's my work, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the last couple months, you've been more consistent and had more workouts than you have all year. I know it was really hard at the Grand Slam. We were so busy, but
Yeah,
I've
that,
definitely
that's
seen
why.
a change.
I was gonna say that's why I didn't exercise, because the Grand Slam, like, that's why.
Right. I love you finding the excuses.
But yeah, I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's been really exciting. And, you know, to our listeners, we are just so excited every time that you share about what it is that you're working toward. We see it in the Facebook community page. People are sharing about their races, their workouts. They're sharing the Do the Work. I know Eddie manages the Choose Strong podcast Instagram account, and he is resharing every time. Every time you guys share a story on Instagram and you tag it with Choose Strong Podcast and it's your Do the Work, we've been resharing it.
Yeah,
and
it's been pretty inspiring to see.
So inspiring.
All the people just, you know, like you were saying, it's like, you know, AM run, PM strength. Like, just it's very simple, but how cool to see so many people just doing their thing.
It's,
you know,
so encouraging for me. I'm like, wow, look at all these people putting in like solid work.
Yeah.
But like I said earlier, for those of you that, you know, you don't feel comfortable, you don't feel obligated to have to share all the details, you don't, because that's not what the work is about. It's just, I showed up today. I really love too, seeing people share other work that they're doing. So, you know, some people are sharing about, you know, studied for 5 hours, you know, they're working toward a college degree.
Yeah.
People that are caretaking for family members that are sick.
Yep.
Spending time with their kids. I think I saw someone post about how they played ball with their son, and I'm like, that is real work.
That's the work.
And so we love seeing whatever work it is that you want to write, please do it. It isn't just about the run and the lift. I know that's where I started. The root of it was just sharing very specific, you know, my job as a professional athlete, like I'm sharing with you what that day looks like. And I've shared it in so many different ways. But I think at the end of the day, the message I'm trying to get across is, I don't care what you look like in your workout clothes. I don't care how long that run is, how many reps that you lifted or how heavy that weight was. It is just, let's all show up and put that work in. And one of the analogies that I love to share all the time is the run group analogy. I've seen this so often where someone will announce, hey, we have a meetup for a run. We're going to do a 30-minute run down by the beach. You know, Huntington Beach, there's over 500,000 people who live here. And I'm always amazed at these run group meetups that only have 20 people that show up out of 500,000 people. But even within the run group, people will show up and be like, oh, I'm not that much of a runner. I'm not that fast. Like, I, you know, I'm 12, 13 minute pace. Like, you guys are probably like, you know, a lot faster than me. I'm just going to be in the back. And it's just over and over again, all that's happening there is just the comparison. You know, me showing up isn't valuable because I'm not as fast as you. And that is a lie. If you show up, the work, the hardest part is done.
Yeah.
You showing up is the work. We are all going to run for 30 minutes. Some of you might cover 4 miles in that. Some of you might cover 2 miles in that. But we're all showing up and doing the work. And that is the most powerful thing. Your value should never be based on how many reps, how heavy of a weight, what your pace is, what your distance is. It's whether or not you showed up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, shall we close this episode up?
Yeah, I'd love just to take a minute and acknowledge everyone that stayed with this long podcast, because Eddie, it has been a while since we have put out the last one, because it took that vacation
break.
Yeah,
we took a week off. Yeah.
And this is our first one of 2024. Yep. So again, we just want to say we are so grateful for you. If you are still running, if you're still training, you're driving or folding that laundry, we see you, we applaud you, and we are so grateful that you are here. And we want to encourage you to keep choosing strong and doing the work every single day.